Hey everyone, welcome to Guys Who Law. I'm Jesse Weber.
I'm Andrew Icebrook.
Andrew and I are two young lawyers, and we're going to talk about a variety of issues, but from a different perspective. And that's a millennial perspective.
Because we've been so marginalized before in the industry that people need to hear our voice.
It's so true. We really are. We're so discounted. But no, here's the truth. Look, you're out there. You're living. You're working. You're dating. You're traveling. You're constantly doing what you need to do. But every time you turn on the news or every time you go on Twitter or any kind of social media, you're bombarded with all these stories in the news. And I can't help but think, does this affect me? How does this really affect my life? And do I even care what I'm seeing? So what we're going to do is every week we're going to pick maybe one, two stories, and we're going to break down what you need to know and maybe something that you didn't quite think about, especially since these days every story has a legal aspect. And today we thought it would be perfect to start with maybe one of the major stories in the news, Harvey Weinstein.
So before we get to that, let's just introduce ourselves.
Yeah, we probably should, because no one knows who we are.
Yeah, just since this is the first episode, I guess that's a good thing to do.
Yeah, so I'm Jesse Weber. I'm an attorney, and I'm also a host here on the Law and Crime Network. I also am a legal analyst on television, and now I'm a joint podcaster with my good friend Andrew Icebrook over here.
Yeah, now we're professional podcasters, but I'm Andrew Icebrook. I'm the COO of Law and Crime, so I'm mostly behind the scenes. This is my first foray into being in front of, a microphone in this instance. But Jesse and I wanted to do something together, and we thought this was kind of a good way to do it.
That's right. That's right. And you're doing good so far. You're good for your podcast. And I should tell you that two things. One, the reason I might have experience is because I also co-host a radio show called Always in Fashion with my father, Mark Weber, on 77 WABC Radio. I encourage everyone to listen. But Andrew, it should also be noted, Andrew's actually my boss. So,
well, now we're co-hosts.
We're now co-hosts, so it's all equal. But if I don't do a good job, Andrew will be quick to replace me.
We'll fire ourselves, basically, if this doesn't pan out. But before we get to the discussion today,
right,
let's give a little shout out to our sponsor.
I know. First episode, we already have a sponsor. So who's our sponsor?
So our sponsor for this episode is Lincoln's Last Trial, the murder case that propelled him to the presidency. It's a new book that's coming out on June 5th. It's written by Dan Abrams of ABC News and David Fisher. And the book covers the true story of Abraham Lincoln's last murder trial, which played out in the nation's newspapers as he began his presidential campaign. I know, Jesse, that you're a big fan of Lincoln. So
I am a big fan of Lincoln. I always think about his first trial. I think he doesn't get enough press on that one. But I have to tell you, Dan is a great guy. Dan writes extremely well. I'm talking about Dan Abrams. You know him from Live PD on A&E, chief legal affairs correspondent for ABC News. Really breaks down issues in a very interesting way. So I encourage everybody to pick up this book. And you have no excuse now. It's on your phone. It's on your Kindle. It's on anything. So you really should read this book. Who doesn't want to learn a little bit more about Lincoln?
Yeah, everybody loves Lincoln.
He's regarded as nobody doesn't like him.
That's actually true, because there's not many presidents that you can talk about, and one person will say horrible things about them, then another person will love them. Lincoln's one of those that everybody likes.
Yeah, he's not a polarizing president.
No. I mean, I'm trying to think of, like, some sort of group that might not like him. Probably just the KKK.
Yeah. But I don't think we're subscribing to them anyway on this podcast.
Probably not that, yeah.
So speaking of people that we don't really care if they listen to this podcast, because we're probably going to talk bad about them, is Harvey Weinstein. And that's really the subject of our first episode.
So for those of you who don't know, and I think it's been out there in the news enough that most people know who he is at this point, Harvey Weinstein is a huge film producer. He's produced some of the biggest movies that have been out there over the past two decades. Pulp Fiction, Kill Bill, Imitation Game, King's Speech. One of the quintessential entertainment personalities in the industry. He's kind of a god in the film industry. So
I think Meryl Streep called him that.
Yeah, I think she actually called him a god, like when she was interviewed at the Oscars or something.
No, I think when she gave her speech for winning an Oscar.
Oh,
right?
Maybe, so even more so.
Yeah.
So in October of last year, an article came out in the New York Times where dozens of women accused Harvey Weinstein of sexual abuse in the industry. right now, those accusations have finally been brought into the legal system. Last Friday, Harvey Weinstein surrendered to police, was formally arrested and charged with three different counts in relation to two women. The counts were first-degree rape and third-degree rape for one woman and criminal sex act for the third woman.
So what is that? What is first-degree rape and third-degree rape?
So first-degree rape is when you have sexual intercourse with someone through the means of forcing the person physically.
Okay.
Through force.
That's the classic example.
Physical compulsion. Yeah. In this situation, that's what they would need to.
Clearly prove. The worst thing you could possibly do. Okay. What's the third degree?
Third degree is having sexual intercourse with someone without the person's consent. So it doesn't necessarily mean that I have to force someone physically. It just means that there wasn't consent by the other person.
You mean if they were unconscious?
Yeah, if they were unconscious, if, you know, it also, you know, could be a situation where
she said no.
She said no.
Didn't fight him off, but she said no.
And then maybe, you know, kept on going, and there wasn't, you know, a physical altercation, but.
And we don't know the details of it, so we're speculating a little bit, but yeah. This is what it is. And then what is the criminal sexual act for the other woman?
So the criminal sexual act is kind of an odd sort of statute.
And do we know who that woman is?
So that's Lucia Evans.
Okay, the actress.
She wasn't identified in court documents, but it's been made public that charge has to do with Lucia Evans.
Okay.
And basically, it's the same thing as first-degree rape, but just in relation to oral and anal sex.
That's so weird that they separate the two.
Yeah, it's very old-fashioned. Basically, the New York court system hasn't caught up to, you know, what society has.
So criminal sexual act is a lesser charge than the rape.
No, so it's basically, it has the same sentencing guidelines.
Okay.
And in this situation, it has to do with forced oral sex. Basically, yeah. Lucia Evans accused Harvey Weinstein of pushing her head down on his penis. But because it's oral sex, that's why it's classified under this third charge. So
right.
Basically what's happened now, he was arraigned on Friday. Then since all of these charges are felonies, it needs to be brought to a grand jury in order for the charges to move forward and for Harvey Weinstein to be indicted.
And to ultimately go to trial.
Yeah, and when I say indicted, that just means that that's what's necessary in order for a trial to happen.
It's formal charges.
Yes.
So, and he'll have to be arraigned on those formal charges. And we learned that he was just indicted. So he was just indicted by the grand jury, right?
Yeah, so basically today he was supposed to decide whether he was going to testify in front of the grand jury.
And he's not.
And he decided not. Then a couple hours later, which is sooner than I would have thought this would have happened, it came out that the grand jury indicted him.
And he said he wasn't going to testify because they didn't have enough information. They weren't ready for him to testify in front of the grand jury.
Yeah.
Which maybe, I guess that's fine.
I mean, I feel like that's bullshit because the whole reason why Harvey Weinstein was able to surrender peacefully was because he had prior notice on what was going to happen. So if his lawyer knew that this was coming, you know, they would have had adequate time to prepare for any sort of testimony. But, you know, typically in cases anyway with a grand jury, the prosecution only needs to present their evidence. It's not required.
There's no judge.
There's no judge. Yes. There doesn't need to be a
23 jurors, there. Right? And you need 12 of them to indict.
Yeah, you need 12 of them to indict.
So what could he, if he's convicted across the board, what kind of jail time is he looking at? And by the way, I think I should note that this trial – this isn't going to happen tomorrow. It's not going to happen in a month. It's probably not going to happen for at least a year, maybe even 2 years, when as it goes through different court documents and back and forth between the prosecution and the defense.
What could he be
convicted of?
Yeah, so in terms of sentencing, he would likely face up to 25 years in prison for the most severe charges, which is first-degree rape and criminal sex act. So, you know, that's the maximum. And then, you know, he could enter a plea deal, make some sort of deal with the prosecution. Or if he goes all the way, the judge will determine his sentencing at the end.
And we're not sure if he were to be found guilty across the board, whether it's you serve 25 years now and then after that another 25 years. It should be noted that he's 66 years old, so you do the math. Two women. This is charges related to two women. I wouldn't be surprised if he starts getting charged in connection with other women or in other states or maybe even in other countries, right? Isn't that a possibility?
Yeah, I mean, and the interesting thing is in rape cases, and you saw this with Bill Cosby, that a lot of times the prosecution tries to bring in other evidence of similar situations happening to that defendant. The hard part of bringing in that evidence is that if it's not totally relevant to the case that's going on, it's not allowed in court.
Makes sense, because you can't convict somebody about what they did outside of this case. But if it shows a pattern, which was what we saw in the Cosby case,
right,
it can be brought in. So bottom line is, for anybody who just joined us, the current legal situation of Harvey Weinstein is he was arrested, he was indicted, and now his attorneys and the prosecution are going to go back and forth about when or if this trial is going to happen. And I believe it will ultimately go to trial, because he wants to fight this. He wants to clear his name.
Yeah, he's still denying, from everything that I've seen in terms of press statements and what he said publicly, that he never forced anything upon anybody.
Right.
So I doubt he's going to take a plea deal.
Not now.
I'd be very surprised, unless like this goes on forever and he just wants to eventually.
Well, he's out on bond. So he's out on bond, $1 million bond. He's,
right,
he's just hanging out in his home in New York and Connecticut. He can't leave without a judge's permission.
Yeah. So that's another thing to discuss too. You know, not many people can just drop $1 million on bail, but obviously Harvey Weinstein can. So he's sitting comfortably in his house right now in New York or Connecticut while he waits trial.
It's interesting, because he was the first to start the whole avalanche,
right,
the whole Me Too. So isn't it fitting that the first person who really faced criminal trial on this is Harvey Weinstein? I mean, we knew about Cosby. I mean, that wasn't – it's a different kind of issue. I'm talking about, like, he really started the whole thing. The Me Too movement started because of Weinstein. So isn't it fitting that the first person who goes to trial about this, or the first person who gets brought into court, is Harvey Weinstein? I think that's extremely fitting.
Yeah, and what makes this really, you know, impactful for me too is – you know, Harvey Weinstein was kind of an idol of mine even growing up. Like, I loved his movies. Some of his movies are my favorite movies.
Would you still watch them knowing about this?
Yes, because I think that making a movie is not just based on one person. It's based on a lot of people.
But yeah, you mentioned before, like, Kevin Spacey or Louis C.K. or all the people who have been accused. It's interesting, because with this movement, and especially if they're brought into court, you lose future projects. So, like, if you liked Louis C.K. and you're like, oh, I can't wait for his next comedy special, that's gone for you. Kevin Spacey was a great actor. Has anyone seen him? Does anybody know where he is? Is he on, like, a tropical island somewhere? Because nobody can find this guy.
There's going to be, like, a Netflix just for people. Just like a
Finding Spacey.
A certain type of Netflix just for people who have been accused of sex crimes.
No, it's 100% true. Hey, you still,
projects
want
their, for them, yeah,
you still want their work. It's there. But, like, it's really interesting. You're losing content, but for the right reasons. And I just to bring it back for a second, I am fascinated by the people who came forward and said – people knew about this. So Quentin Tarantino came forward. He goes, I knew enough to do more than I did. William H. Macy said, everybody knew about this. Everybody knew. Colin Firth said he had a situation where he knew somebody, but he didn't do more. And again, I'm always curious, if you're in that position, what would you do? I don't know, because how many times do you hear a rumor and you're like, it's a rumor, I'm not going to get more involved? And how many times do you say, wait a minute, I should have really paid more attention to this?
I mean, let me ask you this as a lawyer to lawyer, which is kind of like a similar sort of question. Would you represent a guy like Weinstein, or would you represent Weinstein?
So it's so tough, because everybody has an entitlement to a defense, right?
Yeah.
But for me, it's like, what do I want to say to the public? And I'm in a weird position, because, you know, I want to have a good image in the public eye, while other people, you represent serial killers, all kinds of celebrities, but if they do a good job and they get them off, that's what they're known for. That's how they get repeat business. It's a business at the end of the day. Being a lawyer is a business. And if you represent high-profile celebrities who are really in the worst of the worst, I mean, Harvey Weinstein, if he could be defended successfully, how much more business will his lawyers get?
Ben Braffman, who's representing him now, has also represented other celebrities and other people who have done morally questionable things.
And successfully.
Yeah, well, he most recently represented Martin Shkreli, who is the pharma bro, who is extorting people for different pharmaceuticals. But also, like, P. Diddy, some other clients. But, you know,
they're not his friends. Like, it should be like, you're not always friends with your clients.
Yeah, I think if you spoke to him, he wouldn't say that he necessarily...
He does what he has to do.
He doesn't agree with what they're doing, but he believes they're entitled to a fair defense legally.
I mean, we covered the Larry Nassar case on Law and Crime, and his attorneys were being harassed and, I think, almost attacked outside the courtroom. It's not their fault. They are defending him. It's his right, constitutional right to a defense. He's the worst human being, but you don't need to get, you don't need to attack the lawyers. They're just doing their job. But it's tough. It's tough trying to figure out what you would do in that situation. And as a young lawyer, I don't know. I don't know. Like, if I start out my career by representing someone like that or someone really at the worst, what would the rest of my career look like? Or even think about this. Think about people who defended people back in the past, 50, 60 years ago, and it was controversial to defend them, but they knew it was the right thing to do. They were spearheaded certain movements, and they did it rightfully so. And everybody hated them for it, but they did the right thing. And that was the reputation that they wanted to have, and that was their legacy. This is a little different, though.
Yeah, I mean, and in this situation, too, like, in all honesty, it's going to be a tough case for the prosecution because, you know, many of the accusations that are being presented here happened years ago, and it's very hard to gather evidence in a rape case this far after. And you have to prove physical evidence in order to make your case. So I think that Braffman is definitely going to focus on that.
Do you think that there's a big part of people who are kind of interested? There's obviously not going to be cameras in the courtroom, as far as we know.
Yeah.
But I think there's a part of people that want to know the details of it. They want to know how this went down.
People definitely want to know the details.
When they read I think when the New York Times article came out, or people, they want to know the sex stuff. I mean, that's it. Sex sells. I'm sorry to say, but like, that's what people want to know about. How did he do this? What exactly happened? I think it's the idea of this guy, trying to be with any kind of woman is kind of crazy to think about. But, you know, I think people really want to understand how this went down.
Yeah, I mean, like, we know for Lucia Evans that he forced oral sex. I think it was somewhere in his office or at a meeting. I'm not exactly sure, but
think about what that's like for her. Like, how disgusting is that? Like, I feel awful for anybody who was in that situation. I mean, it's not even the worst. The worst. This is not only sexual assault, but sexual assault casting couch. Does it get more cliche than that?
No.
I mean, does it get and with him? And this guy?
And I don't understand. I mean, first of all, these are still accusations, but like, I don't understand how he would even be able to think he could get away with that. I mean, maybe because he had allegedly done this so often, he was used to it, but
what about all the women that didn't come forward? Think about that.
There's probably still much more.
No, and they won't admit it. Who knows what he was up to?
I mean,
really?
I feel like part of the reason why a lot of people also didn't come forward with Harvey Weinstein specifically is because he was kind of a tyrant in the industry.
So that's so interesting. How many people are so happy that this happened because they hated him for who he is?
Yeah, I want to like speak to all his past interns and be like, how fucked up was Harvey Weinstein
right?
in the office when you worked for him?
But like, how happy are they to say, oh my gosh, he got his comeuppance. I'm so happy this happened to him. I knew he would get his, and this is just a way for him to severely pay. I think that's with anybody who has a really bad boss or people that you don't like working with. And you're like, I hope they get there someday.
What comes around goes around. That's
it really is. Yeah. Because it doesn't get more embarrassing than this for him.
No, I mean, he lost his family because of this. His wife divorced him.
He lost his family, lost his job, his image.
He has kids, too.
And his life. He lost everything. Everything.
Did you see when he was arrested what he walked out with?
He had, books or something?
He had three books in his hand.
What were the books?
And he was dressed like he was going to a country club, too.
Well, what is the prison attire?
he was going to the
arraignment attire.
He was going to an arraignment, and I would assume since he had prior notice that he was going to this, that you would wear a suit and tie. But
yeah.
He was wearing like a bright blue sweater and like an open collar, which I mean is okay, but like look your best if you're going to court.
He's like, where's the red carpet?
Yeah, I think he just wanted to make it seem like he was laid back about this.
Why did he have books with him?
So. I mean, my guess is, and I don't know what the exact answer is.
I read.
Yeah. My guess is that he wanted to make it seem like, oh, I was in the middle of reading a book, and then I just got arrested and didn't expect this to be happening at all.
Oh, this old thing? Where'd the police come from? No, I think he was like, oh, I'm working on future projects. I'm not going to let this stop my business. There's a part of him, I think, that so believes that he's going to be cleared. That this is just going to – everybody's going to apologize. And he once said, I'm going to come back in the industry.
And so the books he was reading – I'm just looking at this now – was he was reading like two Hollywood books. One was Elia Kazan's A Biography and Something Wonderful by Something Wonderful, Rodgers and Hammerstein's Broadway Revolution.
Sexual assault trials for idiots, for dummies.
I mean, I think he was just trying to like make it seem that he was like laid back about this. And someone else had said that when you're waiting for an arraignment, there's some downtime. So you might have some time to read. But like he probably would have had time to read like 20 pages, not two books. So it's a little odd.
Who would even think about reading? I'd be so nervous. I wouldn't even be thinking
maybe,
about it.
Maybe he wanted to shake off the nerves. I just found it very odd.
It is very odd. But you know what's interesting? You talk about reading some articles about this. I read an interesting article from trying to understand why this happened now. And we talked about at the beginning that we're millennials. There's an article from the Washington Examiner that says that it's because of millennials that Harvey Weinstein got caught. In other words, they said that millennials killed the cultural acceptance of workplace sexual abuse. I mean, why did this happen in 2017 as opposed to 10 years ago? Our generation, I think, has become – look, we get killed for being entitled and lazy and sensitive. But the flip side of that coin, and which was said in that Washington Examiner piece, is that because of all those traits you want to characterize us as, we're making better social change. We're more sensitive to women's issues, to the issues of different groups. And I think that's why this happened, right? I think if you're making more of a statement about, well, wait a second, something's not entirely kosher here, this stuff shouldn't happen again.
Yeah, I mean, even though that most of the women who've come forward, I don't think are millennials, just in terms of the timing of when this happened.
Right.
I think that the atmosphere for them coming forward was one where they felt more comfortable, and that could be because millennials they've made it so women feel more empowered, more independent, and that they're not going to take as much shit anymore. So I'm not a woman, so I'm not speaking for all women, but I feel like that could have opened the gates for something like this. And I wonder if now that the smoking gun has kind of been released with legal charges coming out against one of these celebrities. Is it going to happen for more of the accusations that have come out against others?
You mean are there going to be criminal charges brought against other people?
Yeah, like Morgan Freeman was accused with certain things last week, Kevin Spacey, et cetera.
It's very important to, I think, remember that there's like three different categories, right? There's sexual harassment, which is in the workplace. There's sexual assault, which is clearly what, you know, Mr. Weinstein is facing. And then there's another gray area, kind of like things that are not entirely kosher,
yeah,
that you may not like, but it might not rise to the level of something being illegal.
Yeah, like inappropriate sexual comments or something like that, that people are still speaking out about, but there may not be a legal charge associated with it.
Right. So if I was on a date with a girl and I said something that was like, she didn't like. I mean, if I said something like, you know, I think women only belong in the kitchen, and she was, or in the bedroom, and she'd be like, whoa, that's extremely offensive. It's not really, nothing can happen to me for saying that I'm allowed to say something. So I think that people sometimes conflate a lot of these things together, which is fine because a lot of it shouldn't be tolerated and a lot of it is illegal, but there is a interesting barrier between some of them.
Yeah, I mean, someone was asking me like a couple months ago when a lot of these accusations first came out that, you know, what happens if some of these accusations are false? Like, what if they're not true? It's destroying people's lives.
I mean, look at the Aziz Ansari situation.
Yeah, I mean, and my answer at that time, and I think I still believe this, is that if we're going to make significant change, then, you know, it's going to be a sacrifice. Like, there's going to be some innocent people that'll need to go down on behalf of that cause. So, you know, for the overall good of moving us forward and, you know, treating people with the respect that they should be treated in, you know, there's going to be some mistakes that are made, but that's just what happens in these sort of situations.
But I think it'll work itself out. I mean, the Aziz Ansari thing, as much as it, like, hit him, there were people who were defending him immediately and said, well, wait a second, this is not the same thing. And I think that's a great argument. I think that's really important when people say it. They're like, don't take away from the Me Too movement or the Time's Up movement by throwing in crap that doesn't belong there. Don't even try. Don't even try, because it takes away from what every other woman is trying to say and is going through. Let me ask you the million-dollar question. What's going to happen to Harvey Weinstein if he's convicted? What's going to happen to him in prison? I really think about this because this is a guy who was a bulldog in the industry, a bully. I don't think it's going to work the same for him in prison if he's convicted.
I think it can go two different ways. Like, first, I feel like rapists he's an alleged rapist right now, but if he's convicted, aren't treated that well. That's a child rapist.
Yeah.
But still, it could go that way. But another part of me thinks that since he was a big film producer, there's going to be, like, a lot of people in prison who want to, like, get his advice on, like, how can I get my story told? Like, how can I get a script written about my life?
Oh, my gosh. I can't say it. It's probably accurate. That might actually happen. But, no, oh, my gosh. I can't imagine him. I can't imagine. It's so hard thinking about him on the Oscars one second and then thinking about him in prison in the other. It's crazy. It's crazy.
I mean, I wonder if he would be sent to one of those, like, country club prisons. But I feel like in this instance, he would not.
No. Well, I think we should go over what those different versions of rape are, because that might be what he might be facing.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it's crazy to think about the biggest person in Hollywood. And I think some people came forward and said, as horrible as it is what happened, and we talked about it earlier, they're going to miss Harvey because of what he was able to do for the actual industry. But you can make as many good films as you want. It doesn't justify what you did.
And he has a brother, too, who's still, I imagine...
But they hate each other, right? Don't they, like, not like each other?
I don't think so, but they've worked together for the last 20 or so years and, technically produced all these movies together, so I assume he's going to continue somehow if his reputation's not tarnished enough. But
I don't know. Who's going to take up the mantle of being the new Harvey Weinstein?
The new Harvey Weinstein? I don't know. I mean...
With all the
Jerry Bruckheimer, but he seems like a very nice guy.
Yeah. You know personally.
I know, but I see him on TV.
Jerry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also find it interesting that you have Instagram?
I have Instagram.
Yeah, I have Instagram too. And I look at celebrities' lives with the little blue check mark, and they really put off a great image of what's happening. And I always think that they live this life that's so untouchable and you can never achieve, and they're just living what you think is a dream, but at the end of the day, everybody's human and you have no idea what's going on. You have no idea what's going on. And I always think it's interesting they say celebrities are untouchable. They somehow get off. I mean, what happened to Conor McGregor? I mean, wasn't he just arrested and now he's like still doing Instagram posts?
Yeah, I saw the video and then I like watched his Netflix documentary the night after. But it seems like – I don't think there were any charges brought against them.
I have no idea. That'll be the episode two. I have no idea. Yeah. But the point is like – you see so much of this and so many people become Instagram stars and famous overnight. But fame and power and wealth, it's sometimes a facade for what's really happening. And no one is above the law. Really, no one is above the law. But it's just strange that this is...
But I think in certain cases, like celebrities in the past have kind of like gotten off in ways and have been above the law in a sense, like many times
celebrity law,
like there's like celebrities go to these country club prisons where they're committing the same crimes as another person but get suspended at a beautiful facility, or they make
is that because of their fame that they're too much of a known target?
Yeah, well, I think it's a bunch of different factors, like they can afford better lawyers, like the public pressure that surrounds the case, that sort of thing. But I think with Weinstein, it's kind of a wake-up call for celebrities, too, in that they're going to be treated the same way. Although, honestly, he wasn't treated the same way. Do you think other people who are accused of rape are given prior notice that they're going to be arrested? I don't think so. I think the police just show up at their houses and arrest them.
But no, I think you said it before that it had to take the biggest person in Hollywood, or one of the biggest people in Hollywood, to shed light on this, right? It had to hit. How many times does this happen in every day? You know how many times I speak to friends of mine, girls who are working and they're harassed constantly? Now, luckily, I don't hear situations of them being sexually assaulted, but harassment just happens all the time. And I'm wondering, when you ask about how Weinstein's going to affect you, how it's going to affect your company. because it really should.
I think, I mean, hopefully, I think men will be a lot more careful and respectful. I mean, after seeing everything that's gone on.
Like, you think saying a certain comment or acting a certain way is being cool or flirtatious or funny, but you don't know what it's perceived like. And I've been, believe it or not, I'll tell you this right now, I've been in situations where guys have said things to me or women have said things to me and it made me really uncomfortable. You know what? I'll tell you, this is a true story. I was, I'll just say I was at a company and they were giving, they had like free clothing for me or something. I'll just keep it extremely vague. And I like had a suit fitted or something. And the female designer said to me, change. But she didn't want me to go in the changing room. She wanted me to change right there. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was so, I was so uncomfortable. I was like 18 years old. I thought it was the most uncomfortable thing ever.
That's pretty awkward. Especially really for an 18-year-old too. I mean, yeah, it was for anybody, but you were a young guy.
She didn't mean it in a sexual, she's like, what's the big deal? Just change right here. And I'm like, what? Like, it was so weird. And I've been, yeah, situations like that happen and you don't realize how uncomfortable it is. But think about you being okay, so here's the truth. Imagine the person that you're least attracted to in the world is making sexual advances towards you or touching you in an inappropriate way. Imagine whatever that is for you out there, the most unattractive person to you, whatever that is. And think about that's what these women are going through. And if all these Harvey Weinstein accusations, I don't think anybody looks at him and thinks that he's Brad Pitt. So,
and you're just trying to be a professional too. You're working. Like, that's the last thing you want to have to deal with while you're in a professional environment. So, you know, if Harvey Weinstein needed to be a wake-up call for this kind of stuff, then, so, you know, that's I guess what we needed, but it's too bad that there wasn't a wake-up call even earlier.
Yeah. So you care about this story?
I do. I think it's really important, even though it's a celebrity and, you know, not someone who's involved with our day-to-day life. I think it's a wake-up call for a lot of people out there who are acting inappropriately. Yeah. Like, they're going to be fearful now of people bringing accusations against them, putting it out in the press, possibly bringing legal charges against them, and ruining their careers. So I think that charges were brought against Weinstein is a huge deal for this movement. And, you know, that's what we've seen in the press. Like, a lot of these celebrities are celebrating now that these charges have finally been brought against Harvey Weinstein.
Oh, absolutely. And as you said, the interns and everybody who worked for him was probably really happy. But as we also said, millennials, too, we're a generation we're more socially conscious to all of these issues. And this is really a prime example. So who knows what it'll be in 20 years, 50 years with it. It'll be interesting to see. Plus, I just really want to know what happens to Harvey Weinstein. I mean, really do.
In a couple of years, if it goes to trial, then we'll do a follow-up podcast.
Yeah.
A follow-up episode on what happens in the trial.
Do you think he'll make it one way or another? Do you think he'll actually make
health-wise?
It?
Health-wise?
Yeah.
Well, that's another question. Like, do you think he'd try to kill himself? I don't know.
I mean, we covered the Aaron Hernandez case, and that was a different kind of situation, but who knows? I honestly would have said he would have done it already.
If he was going to do it,
he was going to do it. Now he's in a situation where, first of all, he's being watched much more carefully. And he keeps wanting to fight this.
And I think you're right in a way, too, that his ego is too big that he, like, still thinks he has a chance in the industry.
Yeah, he really thinks so. I'm making a great movie.
I have a great movie idea.
Great movie.
Quentin and me are discussing it already.
I have new actors in prison that are going
to
be great.
Also, on a side note, I actually tried to intern for Harvey Weinstein when I first...
No, you did not.
I think it was my senior year or when I first graduated college. And basically, I had mentioned to my dad that I wanted to intern there. So he says, look up their address. And he brings the car up and says, we're going to go to their office and I want you to go up there and try to meet with Harvey Weinstein.
Wait, what happened?
So I went there. I go up the elevator, go past the doorman. They don't say anything to me, and I go to the receptionist and ask if Harvey Weinstein is there. I have my resume with me, and she's like, "No, he's out in a meeting." And I was like, "All right, I'll wait here for a bit." And she's like, "Oh no, he won't be back for a couple hours." And then I left. So I guess in a sense, maybe I'm glad that internship didn't work out. But That was my experience with the Weinstein.
That's
company.
Great. That's old school about trying to get a job right there.
Right, yeah.
That's a good way of doing it. He's not going to be back forever. You may want to leave.
He's never going to be in this office. Now get the hell out of here.
This is not the way you do it. This is not the way you do it. But actually, it was funny. I interned at William Morris Endeavor, and there was this intern who was – he was so clueless, but he was so sweet. He was like a simple child. No one ever – he was so naive to the world, really didn't understand how things work. He went into Ari Emanuel's office and just started talking to him.
Good
about,
for him, honestly.
About like, video games.
About then, video games. Maybe.
And then he was arrested, and he was never seen from again. But the point is – I never know what happened to him. But the point is like that's gutsy to do. But the bottom line is no matter how big anybody is – they're all human, and they could all fall.
Yeah, and I always wondered that, too. Like, I knew Harvey Weinstein very well just because I followed his career, but I always wondered, like, how many other people actually care about this person. But
Andrew, you care about me. You can visit me in prison.
Nice to hear that you care about me, Andrew.
Yeah. I want to go. I'll take you for a two-for-one at the OK Corral buffet. I just eat everything off the buffet.
But I think, that other celebrities, you know, there were so many that had an experience with him, like, that made it even more prevalent for people like hearing this happen to Kate Beckinsale, Gwyneth Paltrow, Rose McGowan. Like that's
it becomes like wow, not her. It's
it wasn't some random person.
Yeah. And it even if it was, but it's interesting for well known people. You're like, oh, that's really what it became. It's like who's next? Who's next? Not just like who's an accuser, not just who's being accused, but also who was a victim of it.
Right.
You're like wow, it's like this dark cloud, and who's it going to touch next?
Crazy.
So I think we said we might do this at the end of every show, every time we pick a topic. We're going to rate from 1 to 10 how much this affects you, right?
Yeah, because I think there's so many, you know, with every, you know, most stories that are out there these days, there's some legal aspect to it. And, you know, at the end of the day, do some of them affect you at all? No. But we want to talk about if they really do or if they really don't. So we thought it would be good to have a sort of subjective rating system.
Yeah. So on a scale of 1 to 10, maybe we should write it down and I won't share with you. You won't share with me. I mean, you write down yours. I'll write down mine. And they'll say, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much does this affect you? How much does this matter to you?
Well, and a 10 being that this is the most.
10 is like an asteroid is coming to Earth and it is going to destroy the entire planet. So it really does affect everybody at every moment of their lives.
And a zero is basically like something that you should never worry about at
zero
all.
Zero is like Andy Dick's career. Like, do I care about it? No. That's what it is.
Many people love him, but.
Okay, well, if I turn on Zoolander, I think. Okay, so on a scale of 1 to 10, you write down. I'll write mine down. Okay. So on a scale of 1 to 10, this is how much I think the Harvey Weinstein affair affects my life.
Or even the average person's life.
Average person's life. Yeah. Okay.
So let's show each other at the same time.
Right, one, two, three. Oh, look at that. We have the exact same
we actually got the same thing.
That's funny.
Maybe it's fate that we coasted.
That's weird. Wait, how did we do the same one? We both did 8.5 because it really does affect everybody. But in the scheme of an asteroid coming to Earth and destroying humanity, and it affects everyone every second, not that level, but it really is extremely important.
Yeah, it's a wake-up call to the industry and for, you know, companies in general.
That's weird that we both got 8.5.
Yeah, that is odd.
That's strange. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us here on Guys Who Law. We'll be back next week.